Good evening and welcome to a Pro-Life Breakthrough teleconference and web simulcast. My name is Carmen Pate, co-host of Point of View Radio Talk Show, and it's my privilege to serve as your host and facilitator for this discussion. Please join me in prayer as we ask the Lord to bless our time together. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you as our Creator and Giver of life. We humbly come before you tonight, asking for your hedge of protection over the technology that you've provided, Lord, that makes this conference possible. We ask you to direct our words as we reveal what we believe is a plan that was directed by you. We pray for the leaders who have heard your call to action and have responded in obedience for such a time as this. May you receive glory in it all, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me quickly run through some helpful instructions for this evening. Because several hundred pro-life leaders and activists are joining us on this conference line, all lines have been muted except those of the panel members. So you won't need to worry that we might hear your dog barking or your children playing or yelling mom in the background. If you are listening live via webcast, you might listen by clicking one of the players on the webpage. You may experience an occasional 5-second pause. Don't panic. This is common to Internet streaming, and you won't miss any of the discussion as it picks up where it left off. Everyone is invited to submit questions throughout our discussion. You can do so via the form on the webpage that you were given. Go to www.prolifebreakthrough.com/event. If we don't get to your question tonight, or if you're listening by recording, we encourage you to submit your question afterward through email or other venue. Someone from our panel will respond to you promptly. So why a teleconference? Well, ladies and gentlemen, God's hand of providence is evident in the turn of events leading to tonight's teleconference. Over the past 3 years, a handful of communities quietly conducted a groundbreaking pro-life campaign, creating extraordinary results. And tonight, we wanted to share the news with as many folks as possible without revealing too many specifics. Now, we anticipated that between 100 and 150 people would register to become those who hear first about the work that God is doing. But I am pleased to announce that over 500 leaders and activists are joining us live tonight. I am excited about this project. As a post-abortive woman who has been a part of the pro-life movement for almost 20 years, I can tell you that I have never been so optimistic about the future for a culture of life as I have been since becoming involved with this project. God's orchestration and bringing people and resources together to change hearts and minds has been undeniable. Independent of any organization or denomination, God has truly put together a plan that has proven to be nothing short of miraculous. I am expecting His miraculous results to continue. Now, let me introduce our distinguished panel to you who will tell you more about this exciting campaign. First, let me introduce James Olson. James teaches intelligence and national security at the George Bush School of Government and Public Service. He served as the former chief of CIA counterintelligence. He led international undercover assignments and is the author of Fair Play, The Moral Dilemmas of Spying. Jim is one of the strategic masterminds behind this pro-life campaign and will reveal his unique insights on this call. Jim, tell us how you got involved with this campaign.
Well, Carmen, good evening, and good evening, everyone. I've been involved in pro-life activities for many years, and the most exciting thing I've seen in all that time was the 40 Days for Life campaign we had here in College Station. You know, I wasn't sure what to expect when we started it, but when I attended the kickoff rally in one of our local parks, I just couldn't believe how much electricity there was in the air. 40 Days for Life is such a simple concept, but I think that's what makes it so beautiful and so effective in our pro-life work. Everyone can get involved in this. And will be visible and, I hope, inspiring to lots of newcomers to our movement. That's certainly the way it worked here in College Station. And it was just amazing, Carmen, to see and to feel the power of what was happening in our community.
Well, I can certainly hear the excitement in your voice, and I know that we are excited that you are part of the leadership of this campaign as you're coming on and helping us to share the good news with others, and your own involvement has certainly made an impact. Let's move on now to Sean Carney. Sean, who is executive director of a community-based pro-life organization, served as a key leader in the first campaign of this kind and has since consulted for other campaigns around the country. He also is the host and executive producer of the new EWTN show, Being Human, which premieres Monday, June 25th. Sean will address the campaign's proven track record of results. Sean, welcome, and tell us how you got involved.
Thank you, Carmen. I got involved again in College Station, where the first 40 Days for Life was laid out in 2004. And I got excited about the campaign because it focused on prayer and it challenged all Christians. I know in our community and many other communities around the country, Christians are looking for a challenge when it comes to ending abortion, when it comes to this issue. And many of the Christians, many of the churches, the pastors, the leaders rose to that challenge in our community. And I'm just excited to be here.
And why are you most excited, Sean?
I'm most excited because I believe that this campaign can be done anywhere by God's people. If they're faithful to His word, if they're faithful to the call to defend the least of His brethren, it can be done and has been done in every place it's rolled out successfully.
Well, Sean, welcome to the team. We're excited to have you as a part of this campaign. And we also want to introduce David B. Wright. He pioneered this groundbreaking campaign in 2004 while leading a local pro-life effort in Texas. Now, he has since moved to the Washington, D.C. area, where he serves in a national pro-life leadership capacity. Dave is a popular pro-life speaker, and he regularly addresses audiences across America and internationally. David will present the big picture of this project. But, David, tell us how you got involved.
Well, Carmen, thanks for asking, and thanks for everybody for being here this evening. I got involved probably like many people. I was, for most of my life, an apathetic, passive pro-lifer who didn't like abortion but didn't want to do anything about it. And when I moved to College Station, Texas, I got surrounded by a lot of on-fire Christians who helped me to realize that I had a moral obligation to do something about the crisis of abortion. And so in the midst of those people, some amazing ideas were generated, some amazing projects came forth. The single most important and impactful project that ever came out of that time that I spent in that town was the project we're going to be sharing tonight. And I am just so excited to share this with people. I've been bursting at the seams because I've been knowing about all of this for 3 years and haven't been able to tell a lot of people. But just watching God working in such a mighty way through local community after local community and seeing the doors that are opening right now, I am just so excited for people to finally get to hear the big news that we've been talking about.
Well, so David, we are here tonight to talk about a breakthrough pro-life campaign. That's all we've been talking about, and now the folks want to know, how did this first get started?
Okay, well, that's a great question. So let me kind of take everybody back to the late summer of 2004. We were in College Station, Texas, and we were like a lot of pro-life organizations and efforts and communities, we were frustrated. We had a small group of people that were very dedicated and working hard to try to bring awareness about abortion, trying to help women in crisis pregnancies. But we experienced a tremendous amount in our community of apathy, of indifference. We had very few people involved on an ongoing, regular basis. A lot of local churches were silent on the issue of abortion, a matter that is just destroying so many innocent lives and harming so many eternal souls. And, of course, the media was largely ignoring the pro-life perspective. We saw very little funding coming in for pro-life efforts. And there was generally a sense, I think, among a lot of Christians of despair or hopelessness or, well, we can't make a difference. You know, it's just too big, too entrenched. And so in the late summer of 2004, there were four of us sitting around a rickety old table in our little office, and we just really felt it was the beginning of a school year about to start in 2 weeks, and we were just praying, God, show us something that we can do to make a difference. And in that one meeting, ideas started to flow and just the excitement started to rise, and we really felt that he had revealed to us through the Holy Spirit something amazing. And that was the plan for a campaign that became named, as Jim mentioned, 40 Days for Life. In that 40 days, what we decided to do was a very focused campaign, something that would be incredibly intense, but also finite, where it would be a fixed end. We knew that there was an end in sight, a light at the end of the tunnel. And I think most people recognize they can do just about anything for 40 days.
Yes.
It's not like the rest of their life. But we also decided to make it a very positive and upbeat campaign that was a spiritual campaign before it was anything else. And also it was a point of entry. It was an opportunity to bring many new people, to recruit, to educate, to mobilize people of faith, to help them to realize the crisis that faced our community of abortion and of the Planned Parenthood facility that was there, and give them concrete things they could do. So out of that little meeting, a few nights later, we pulled together about 35 local Christian community leaders, people who would sit down and listen to us, and we shared the burden that God had put on our hearts, and we shared with them the vision that we thought of this campaign had for our community. And that little group of people pledged $15,000 of donations that night,
wow,
which funded the entire campaign. And so a few days later, we had that kickoff rally that Jim referenced in his introduction there, and about 100 people came out to a local park. It was an early fall evening, and you could just feel the excitement crackling in the air. It was just amazing. And later that night, that campaign kicked off literally at 12:01 a.m., and that was the first of the 40 days. That was when the 40 Days for Life campaign began, and all of this happened with less than 2 weeks of planning. That's how it got started.
Amazing. Now, Sean, you were part of that initial planning. So why did you choose the period of 40 days?
Well, we knew, Carmen, that if this was going to work, that it had to be God's campaign, that we simply couldn't pull it off on our own. And so we looked at the significance of 40 days and how God works through 40 days. And, of course, you can turn to Scripture and you see how Noah experienced a transformation during the 40 days of rain. And Moses was transformed by 40 days on Mount Sinai. Certainly Jesus, 40 days in the desert, and then the disciples were transformed 40 days after Christ's resurrection. And so to make it God's campaign, the number 40 was very significant. We just started thinking, what could God do if we just dedicated everything in our community for ending abortion for 40 days? You know, how many lives could be saved? How many believers and pro-lifers would come into the pro-life movement or get excited about ending abortion? How many women could we help? How many post-abortive women could we reach out to? How would the whole community in general just be transformed, and the rest of the nation at that? And so 40 days became a spiritual mission that God could transform a community and a nation in 40 days.
And he can do it. David, describe the components of the first 40 Days for Life campaign.
Okay, now the power in this campaign, Carmen, is its simplicity. There are three components, and that's it. But these three components can change a community and literally, I believe, can change the world. And those three components are prayer and fasting, number one. Number two is a constant vigil. And number three is grassroots outreach. And let me elaborate on each of those just a tiny bit. Prayer and fasting. As I mentioned earlier, we realized first and foremost that this could not happen with man. This is not possible, but with God, all things are possible. And so we had to first and foremost focus on him, and we had to focus on prayer. So we called upon the body of Christ and had dozens of churches that pledged to pray together and unite their congregations in prayer. We had daily devotionals and daily prayer requests and weekly themes, but we invited people to unite as the body of Christ in prayer. And on the other hand, the other part of that component was fasting. Now, I was raised in a Christian tradition where fasting was completely non-existent, and I never understood the incredible spiritual discipline that it can be for us to grow in our relationship with God and to give up things so that we can sharpen that spiritual sword, if you will. And so we had people that on their own would commit to fast. We had some people that literally went to a bread and water fast with vitamin supplements, but most people, it was a more moderate fast, maybe abstaining from one meal a day or maybe giving up something that they really liked but they felt that it would be good to give up so that they could, in a sense, bring that sacrifice into union with the sacrifice of children who are dying at the abortion clinic. One that I heard that I loved was somebody fasted from television for 40 days. And I got thinking about it, if every pro-life Christian in America would just fast, abstain from television for 40 days, and put those hours in front of the tube into pro-life efforts, how long would it take to bring an end to abortion? I don't know, but again, prayer and fasting was first. Secondly was the constant vigil, a vigil, in our case, outside of the Planned Parenthood abortion facility. That's where the problem was happening, and we felt that it was crucial to have that vigil. And that vigil began as a 24-hour-a-day, 40-day-long vigil, and there was not a single break. There were thunderstorms in there. There was incredible heat in Texas in the fall. There were all kinds of bugs that we all got stuck in our teeth, but it was a constant, never-ending vigil. And that was very effective because I had leaders share with me years ago that presence out in front of the abortion facilities is crucial because it raises awareness of the problem of what's happening inside those fences. It raises an awareness among the employees at a Planned Parenthood or abortion facility that what they're doing is not supported by the widespread community. And it also is a last-ditch opportunity to reach that woman or that man who's going to that facility for services or for an abortion or whatever, to give them an opportunity to hear a better message, to make a better choice, and to direct them to loving pregnancy resource centers that are in most of our communities. That vigil made a transformational effect on our community. And then the third component is the grassroots outreach, taking the pro-life message to every single person we could reach in a 40-day period. And I will commend Sean, who's on the phone tonight, because he led that grassroots outreach effort through a door-to-door campaign. And during those 40 days, they literally, a team of guys that was put together, mostly college students, went door-to-door to more than 25,000 homes in our community, inviting people to pray and to get involved in the campaign. There was outreach that was done through the media, earned media, through press releases and news stories. And I remember the news crews following Sean around with the camera as he knocked on doors, and he was getting all this incredible feedback, and they were waiting for one person to get mad at him, and nobody did. And there were all kinds of news stories, local, then state, and by the end we even had national news coverage. And there was also outreach on the college campus, big Texas A&M football games. We had teams of Aggies, their students at Texas A&M, handing out flyers to tens of thousands of people. So the grassroots outreach combined with the constant vigil and the prayer and fasting, that is what makes up the 40 Days for Life campaign.
Prayer and fasting, constant vigil, grassroots outreach. David, what kind of results did you see that first campaign in College Station, Texas?
Well, if you had told me when the four of us were sitting around that little beat-up conference table what God would accomplish, and I want to make sure that's very clear to everybody listening, it was not because of any of us involved. It was not because of these strategies. It was because God was at work, and we were uniting with Him in the work that He was doing. During that time, we saw more than 3,000 people come together to pray for that effort, which was astounding to us. I actually ran into somebody just a few weeks ago who had been a law student at the University of Virginia at the time, and they found out from friends about this 40 Days for Life campaign, and they had a group of law students in Virginia who were praying for this little campaign in College Station, Texas.
Wow.
Over 1,000 new people got involved in pro-life efforts during that 40 days. And I want everybody to think about that. If in your community 1,000 new people, take half of that, if 500 new people got active in pro-life efforts, what would that do to your community? During that vigil out on the streets, we had more than 800 people who were willing to put their faith into action to go out and participate on the streets. And amazingly, we thought the overnight shift would be hard to fill. I went out there one night at 2 in the morning, and there were 35 people out there praying outside of the abortion facility at 2 in the morning. And what a witness that is to the Christian community and to the rest of the community. During that 40 days, I believe that just about every corner of that community was reached with the pro-life message, and abortion became the single most important issue of discussion in every corner of that community. I can't, of course, document that, but I can just say, everywhere we went, we heard people talking about it. We saw people involved in it. It was just the hot issue in that community for that 40 days. New leaders came out of that, some of whom are now leading pro-life efforts there in that town and in other places. People came into post-abortion healing programs. Our local pregnancy centers had new clients that instead of going to the abortion provider, went to the pregnancy centers, and they had new volunteers because not everybody is called to be out on the street as a person involved in the vigil. But people, as the awareness is raised and they realize the importance of this issue, then they look for an outlet where they can contribute their time or their talent and their treasure. And the local pregnancy centers many times are the beneficiaries of that. But the two most important results, Carmen, that we saw as the result of that little humble campaign that God just moved in a mighty way, the first was that we saw a 28% drop in abortions that year in that county at that facility. Now, I can't say every one of those drops in abortions. over 100 lives were saved. I can't say that was all directly because of 40 Days for Life, because we don't know. But that was the only thing that was different from previous years and years since. And we heard so many stories, and we saw so many situations that made us recognize that God was working through this, that we really feel that a large portion of that was a result of that 40 days where the Christian community came together.
No,
but the last thing, Carmen, and I'll just throw this out, and this is something that I think pro-lifers are struggling with all over the country with despair, the most important thing I think it did is it renewed hope for the people in our community. It brought a whole new sense of hope where people recognized that with God, all things are possible, even ending abortion.
Mm, and we need that all across America. Well, now, Sean, obviously, when good news travels fast, people around the country are hearing about what took place in College Station, Texas. Obviously, this campaign has spread to other communities. How has this happened, and what other cities are they experiencing?
That's right, Carmen. I mean, right when this campaign ended, we said, okay, good, we're done, that's it. And it wasn't a week later until a group in Dallas, Texas called us and wanted to do a 40 Days for Life. And since we did that first one in 2004, there has always been a campaign either going on or in the works right up until last Friday when Madison, Wisconsin finished their 40 Days for Life up there. But I'm just going to quickly go over some of the communities that did this and the results that they had, because this model, wherever it goes, it's successful because people are relying on prayer. In Green Bay, Wisconsin, they rallied over 700 people and had a database of 700 people. Only 2% of those people, Carmen, had ever been involved in pro-life activities.
Mm.
Only 2%.
Amazing.
Right. And they saved 2 babies from abortion just their first hour of praying in front of the clinic. They had a march, went to the clinic, and saved 2 lives. In Dallas, Texas, they got wonderful media coverage throughout the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, and they saved 17 children from abortion and, again, mobilized over 1,200 people in that area. Kitsap County, Washington, which is just outside of Seattle, they sparked a flurry of news stories up there. Letters to the editor were daily. And during the campaign, perhaps because of it, the local Planned Parenthood facility, which had been nestled there for years, it was brought out into the open through the 40 Days for Life, ended up cutting back its hours and closed 2 full business days of the week. Just phenomenal.
It is.
And Houston, Texas, which actually, due to their 40 Days for Life, got front page coverage from the Houston Chronicle, which is a newspaper that actually gives money to Planned Parenthood. They received wonderful news coverage from the Chronicle, and they got 38 women away from Planned Parenthood into nearby pregnancy centers that were just around the corner so that they could get loving health care and not abortion.
Yeah.
Charlotte, North Carolina pulled together a 40 Days for Life. And Charlotte, like in most communities, brought Catholics, Protestants together in a huge display of unity and reached out to many post-abortive women that came forward just due to the campaign and the leaders there. And then, of course, I just mentioned Madison, Wisconsin, which just completed their 40 Days for Life. Again, they had phenomenal unity. They are now going to have a regular stand-and-pray presence out in front of their Planned Parenthood there, and they had a report from within the clinic from a Planned Parenthood employee that Planned Parenthood experienced more turnarounds, of course we would call those saves, of women leaving the clinic not having abortions during that 40 days than any previous time. And so just wonderful life-saving efforts that you see. Everybody that takes the model gets enthusiastic, they rely on Christ, they make it God's campaign, and they see results and lives are saved. And we wanted to invite on a couple of people. I wanted to ask Christine, who actually led the 40 Days for Life in Houston, to just take a couple of minutes and share with everyone, Christine, how this impacted you and some of the results that y'all saw in Houston.
I'd love to, Sean. Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. Houston began its 40 Days for Life last August 15th. It was inspired by the first 3 cities that conducted this prayer vigil. And it came at a time when there was a great need for extra prayers in our city. You see, our local Planned Parenthood had begun a huge expansion program that would include a surgical ambulatory center for abortions after 15 and a half weeks. But to tell you the truth, this campaign sounded very daunting, almost impossible. But we knew with God's help it could be done. And we decided to do it and announced it just 2 weeks ahead of time. And after we did, God's people responded to the call. It was incredible. Hundreds of people in Houston and surrounding cities participated by coming out to pray at the Planned Parenthood abortion facility, and we were able to fill time slots that covered 24 hours a day for 40 days. It was unbelievable. We also received emails of support from around the state and the country. People let us know that they were participating from afar by prayer and fasting. You know, the fruits and blessings of this campaign are really too numerable to mention. But I can tell you that over 120 women, it's 120, not 38, women were sent to crisis pregnancy centers for pregnancy tests, and countless moms chose life for their unborn children.
Mm.
With the large number of participants that we had, the pro-life community in Houston garnished lots of new volunteers who now come out to pray regularly, and others who have even learned to sidewalk counsel and speak to the moms as they're entering the abortion facility, the moms who are scheduled for abortions. It's only been 8 months since we completed our 40 Days for Life campaign, and I can tell you that Houston is very excited and enthusiastic about doing it again. The spiritual rewards that those of us who participated in it received are beyond explanation. It's something that we'll remember for the rest of our lives. We developed a special bond that's like going to a family reunion whenever we run into each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say any more about other things that are going to be mentioned here, but let me just tell you that when you hear the rest of tonight's news, which is really mind-boggling, I highly suggest that everyone on this call respond and get involved.
Thanks, Christine, and y'all did an awesome job in Houston. It definitely was an exciting campaign down there. And Andrea, you worked in the 40 Days for Life in Charlotte, North Carolina. Could you share with everyone just a couple of things that, that you got out of it and the impact it had in your town?
Yes. Hi. Thank you very much. Good evening. Yes, Charlotte, we did our vigil for Lent, February 21st through March 30th, or April 1st was our last day, and we were looking on the internet one day and saw this. We got into Coalition for Life, and there was this 40 Days for Life description, and that I knew that that's just what God wanted us to do in Charlotte. Excuse me. So we did it. We just had a few weeks to do it. I'm part of Silent No More Awareness Campaign. I'm a co-regional coordinator for Charlotte, along with Catherine Hearn, who's also listening on this call. We kind of took this on. We didn't have a real big group like other cities, I think. We just brought different pro-life people together, and the highlights of it there were lots of saves. We had like 12 in the first 5 days, but we lost. We realized we couldn't count them after that. It was just too hard. But there were lots of saves. A lot of pro-life people came out for the first time. People that were afraid to do it. There were the huge community awareness. There are three abortion clinics in Charlotte, and this one, Family Reproductive Health, it was on a major thoroughfare. That's the one we usually go to day to day. And so that's the one we picked because of the exposure. People driving by, they would stop and ask what we were doing. You know, we were told them we were praying. Praying? What for? Well, to end abortion. And then they'd realize that Family Reproductive Health was an abortion clinic.
Huh.
It's in an industrial park, and you know, people working there didn't realize it was an abortion clinic. One other highlight, the employees, they started coming out and to talk to us. We've had wonderful conversation, be able to evangelize, and one of the cleaning persons that comes every Thursday morning, Antoine, during that 40 days, he decided to stop working there, and he has his own business now, a cleaning business.
Wow.
We've had people come from Albany, Raleigh, North Carolina, Tennessee, to come out with us. We had lots of people come, post-abortive people come and stop. We sent them on the road to healing. The biggest thing was the Christian unity, as you mentioned. When we first started the campaign, and before that, lots of us would go out to the abortion facility, and the Catholics would stand together, and the Protestants would stand together, and we just didn't pray together. And even the kickoff rally we had, it was kind of stilted in that way, but you know, we prayed the Lord's Prayer. That was the first time we prayed together. And by the end of the 40 days, we were a team. And now we're just, all of the walls have been broken down, and we're just all working together now more than we ever dreamed would happen.
God's hand is at work, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the thing that the persistence is the key to all of this. This 40 days, it just really, the things that happen because of persistence, that, you know, God just calls us to just to be there, to show up, and he does the work. And I just want to tell everyone, just as Pope John Paul II says, be not afraid. You can do this. I know it's intimidating to go out to the clinic. It was for me for the first time. I go out there and hold my sign. I regret my abortion, and lots of people do, and it's been in my my ongoing prayer for people to come out. And I think that's why God led us to this 40 days, to get more people to come out. It does have a major impact, and it does work.
Thank you, Andrea. Sean?
Yeah. I was just going to say, that's awesome. And it just shows, Carmen, that the 40 Days for Life model can fit any community, so that people can take it and make it their own and mold it to their particular region.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm just, as I'm listening, David, I'm so excited about what God is doing through his people. We're making a difference. We're changing lives. It seems we've already heard awesome things, but we're here tonight to talk about something even bigger. Can you tell us what the big plans are for this campaign?
Well, certainly, Carmen, and I appreciate the opportunity to share that, and that's what I am so excited about. And I think sometimes God really has to grab us and shake us to get our attention. I know he does for me sometimes. There was a wonderful book written a number of years ago by Henry Blackaby called Experiencing God, and it's a book for Christians to kind of find and do the will of God in their lives. And one of the main themes of the book is we sometimes define God's will. We don't have to look very far. We just look around us at where God is already at work and join him in that work. And as these campaigns were happening from the fall of 2004, as Sean said, they've been continually happening up until the end of last week, we watched this all happening. And honestly, Andrea would tell you, none of us who were part of that first campaign ever spoke to the folks in Charlotte until that campaign was over with. Wow. They did that totally on their own, and I believe it's because of the Holy Spirit, and it's not because of any brilliant strategies that any people have come up with. And so I think if we look at that and see how God is already working mightily, what would happen if we, as the body of Christ, joined him in that work and decided to commit ourselves to unite as the body of Christ for 40 days for life? And so a number of the leaders of these previous campaigns have been networking over the last few months, have been praying and asking God to show us, how do we take what we've been given, all these blessings, and share it with others? And ultimately, the decision was made that the best way to do that would be to have a nationwide simultaneous 40 Days for Life this fall of 2007, to take this project and make it available to every community across America who feels called to do it. And we don't know whether that'll be 5 communities, 10 communities, 50 communities. We don't know, but basically cast the net wide and let God bring in the communities that he wants to be a part of this. And as Sean mentioned, then each community can take ownership of 40 Days for Life. It's independent. It's not run under a national organization. It's not a fundraising campaign. This community, whoever it is, can take it, take ownership of it, tailor it to fit their town, because they know their town better than any national leaders do, and they can customize it to make it fit them. But I think the national coordination is important for a few reasons. One of those reasons is the unity that comes out of this effort. And that's something that certainly there's so much division in the body of Christ. There's division in the pro-life movement. And as you've heard, this is something that actually gives Christians an opportunity to come together. And that is absolutely beautiful to experience and to witness. Another thing why the national is so important is because each community is no longer out there on their own. I can't speak for the leaders of the other communities, but when we did our 40 Days for Life, I sometimes felt like we were the only people in the world that had ever gone through this. We didn't know where to turn for help. When we had challenges, we didn't know what to do. And by doing it with multiple other communities at the same time, no community is out there on their own. And I think it's very powerful. Another thing is that when we conducted that first campaign, our costs were about $15,000, as I mentioned. And by coordinating this nationally, we can dramatically reduce the cost for any individual community by developing tools and resources and training that can be developed once and shared with all of these communities at the same time, dramatically cutting down the cost per community to conduct a campaign like this. Also, by doing it nationally, we can coordinate things far more effectively. If you have a handful of communities, dozens of communities that are all on day 13 prior to the launch of the campaign, everybody should be at the same place at the same time or at least pretty close, and so they can all work together to know where they're supposed to be, what they're supposed to be doing, the team they're supposed to put together, what steps they need to be taking when, and that's very, very powerful. Also, by doing it nationally, you have all the idea sharing. There are going to be communities that are right now listening on this call that are going to decide to do this campaign, and they're going to implement things that nobody's ever thought of before, and they're going to be some of the most brilliant ideas, and they're going to do the most amazing things, and by having lots of communities doing it together, they can share those best practices. And then another reason why the national is important is because this will give us an opportunity to hit the abortion industry and Planned Parenthood from many fronts at the same time. Instead of them shifting their zillions of dollars and their all their propaganda from community to community and continuing to just move their defense to different places, if we besiege the abortion industry with prayer all together across the nation, I don't think they will be able to withstand it, and I think it will be an enormous setback against Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers.
I agree.
The things that are happening, Carmen, I could not have imagined how God would work through these national plans. We've had a team of people that have all started coming together, many of the local leaders, like you heard from on the call here a few minutes ago, some national pro-life leaders that are joining the team to help organize this. We have experts that have come out of the woodwork, experts in online marketing, experts in communications, experts in training. We have media consultants, all of these people, many of whom are donating their time, their energy, anything they can because they see the power of this campaign and feel that their time invested here will be multiplied throughout all the communities where it will be utilized. We've seen strategic alliances, national organizations, national leaders who are so excited about sharing this with their organizations, with their people. And some of those leaders are on this call tonight, and they know who I'm talking about. But there are other people on the call who are first hearing this for the first time tonight, and some of you are going to be convicted to help spread the word and for you to take ownership of 40 Days for Life and to roll it out throughout your organization's efforts. Or even if nothing else, like a pregnancy center may say, you know, we're not going to be out there on the streets. That's not our call. And I appreciate that, that that may not be everybody's call, but that pregnancy center will see a lot of benefits in terms of new clients, in terms of new volunteers, and certainly can lift this effort up in prayer. And together, we can make amazing things happen with God's help. So those strategic alliances are amazing. And God has blessed us too, Carmen. One of the things when these leaders started to talk about this, they wanted to make sure this became an independent campaign that was available to anyone, and we wanted to make sure that it was not a fundraising campaign. And as a result of that, the commitment was made on the front end that we would trust God to provide the seed money to launch this effort through contact with private investors, people who have seen the potential of this campaign as a great way to multiply the effectiveness of the pro-life movement, and who feel this is a way that they can make a difference. And an example of that, I came home last night, and there was a little Ziploc baggie on my desk, and it was $3 in coins from my 9-year-old daughter. And she tithed from some money she had earned, and she wanted to invest in this because she thinks it's going to change the world.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's amazing. But as a result of these private investors, there's going to be absolutely no solicitation by the national coordination for money at any point before or throughout the campaign. We want it to be something that local communities are going to have to raise some funds to conduct this campaign, so we want to make sure they have the tools to raise those local funds, and when they do raise them, those funds stay right there where they're most needed at the local level. None of it skimmed off the top to the national coordination. And I think by doing it that way, it makes it available to everyone across the country. And we realize that this 40 days, and this is probably the most important point, this is just a launching point. If we see it as, well, that's a great campaign, and then we go back to everything the way it was beforehand, it will lose its effectiveness. The power of this is the point of entry, the I can do anything for 40 days. But when people focus their prayers and their actions for 40 days, you will see amazing results, and that creates encouragement, that creates hope, and that builds momentum. And so what's most exciting is what happens on day 41 and beyond. So if we see it as a launching point and realize how God is working through this, I think people can start to see God is going to do some amazing things throughout America, And honestly, I'm starting to get an inkling from word we're hearing from different people and organizations this may even be beyond the United States and be something that affects abortion throughout the world.
Well, God is bigger than all of us, isn't he?
Amen.
And, you know, David, you can it's exciting to hear the enthusiasm in your voice because you've been there, you've experienced, you've heard of the successes in other areas. We are excited to get this thing going. So can you give us an idea of the timeline and phases of this campaign that we need to be aware of?
Okay, absolutely. And if people have a notepad and pen, you may want to jot some of these dates down. It's going to be a whirlwind over the next few months, I will tell you. But let me kind of lay out the time frame. The first phase of all of this actually begins tonight, and that is the pre-launch phase. And this is the first large public announcement of this campaign. There's certainly been a lot of networking and a lot of discussions behind the scenes, but this is the first step of the pre-launch of the public event. We, as Carmen mentioned, we expected a much smaller turnout, but the word started to spread, and more than 500 people are participating tonight. And that's exciting to see, the enthusiasm around this. There are a lot of different steps planned between now and the last week of July to raise awareness, to spread the word, to get people excited about this. Sean's going to be sharing one thing, just, again, another God thing that has come up to spread the word to millions of people to invite them to consider participating in this campaign. So that's the pre-launch phase, and it goes from tonight until the last week of July. Now, the last week of July, and we haven't locked in the exact dates, that's going to be the sign-up period during which communities can opt to sign up to participate in the 40 Days for Life campaign. And we decided to keep it a pretty focused window of time, number one, to give us the ability to spread the word, and not be worrying about trying to sign people up and spread the word at the same time. But also we're going to have to cut that off at a certain point because we've got to move into the next phase, which is the training and implementation phase. So that's the time when communities can sign up. One thing I want to throw out here, too, people ask, well, what will it take for a community to participate in this? Well, first off, it will take a lot of prayer. There will be some advanced preparation people will have to do if they want to participate in this campaign. And there will probably be, as a way to help defray the very large investment of money that it will take to put together all the national resources, there will be a very small investment that a community will be asked to make to help defray the cost of the national training. We're not talking very much money at all, and in fact, if some of the seed money continues to show up as it has been, that could be diminished to a very, very low number. And the commitment from the leaders who've talked about this in planning this wanted to make sure that money would never stand in the way of a community being able to do this. And so there will be scholarship funds set up so that people who cannot invest anything on the front end can still access the campaign. It's all about God, and we want to make it available to anyone. And that's why we're trying to make sure there's absolutely no threshold that people have to get across to be able to sign up for that. So then we roll into, after the end of July, we roll into the first week of August and through the end of September, all the communities who sign up. Again, we don't know how many there will be. Whatever God has in store, we don't know. We've got the ability to scale up to a pretty hefty number of communities working simultaneously, so we're just trusting him to show us how many people and how many communities he wants involved. But then we'll have the training and preparation, working with the leaders in those communities, put together their local campaign. As I mentioned in College Station, we did this in 2 weeks. We want more advanced time, and we want to walk people systematically through steps and preparation that they can take to ensure the smoothest campaign possible. And then the dates that have been chosen for the actual 40 days are September 26th through November 4th. And if you look at your calendar, that November 4th is the Sunday right before local and state elections. Now, I think that's very divinely inspired because I sure would like to think that in all these communities that are participating in this campaign, abortion becomes the top of mind issue, becomes the number one hot discussion point in the community. I would hope that as a result, people would take those convictions with them into the voting booths, and we would see a change in our leaders at the local and state level, and ultimately in this time of this hot political season, when we're looking at the possible prospects of having on both sides of the ballot in 2008 abortion advocates, let's change that. Let's take proactive action right now to ensure that America knows that abortion has to end, and we need leaders who will stand up for that. So that will be happening September 26th through November 4th, and we're excited to see what God is going to accomplish. And then after the 40 days, we will see where God leads and the momentum he builds in each of your communities as you take what blessings come out of that 40 days, the new people, the new leaders, the lives saved, and you continue to build on that momentum. And ultimately, as I've said to people all this year, as I've just gotten more and more excited about this, I truly believe that this is going to be a turning point in America, and I believe this is going to mark the beginning of the end of abortion in our country. And I believe it so much, I'm willing to invest my time and energy and my nights, my weekends, whatever it takes. We're going to commit to do this because we think God is going to work a mighty miracle in America and throughout our world this year.
Well, I've got God bumps, David, and I am with you. And, you know, and one of the experts that we are bringing to the table for this, I am so excited. You know, this is a spiritual battle, folks. And so who would God bring to the forefront but an intelligence and national security teacher with George Bush School of Government and Public Service, formerly a chief of CIA counterintelligence, led international undercover assignments. Now, is God awesome or what? He sent us Jim Olson. And, Jim, I would like to ask you, from a strategic perspective, why do you feel that the nationwide rollout of this campaign is going to work?
Oh, it's just so incredibly important, Carmen. What I remember most about our campaign in College Station was just the hope that filled the air and the encouragement we felt and the camaraderie and fellowship of joining hands with old friends, but also seeing just this unbelievable outpouring of support from people we hadn't even seen before. And we couldn't help asking ourselves, where'd they all come from? It was just fantastic. They were university students, they were high school students, they came from churches all over town, from neighboring towns, families with children, retirees. And, you know, it was just this simple but powerful concept of 40 days of life that brought them all out. And it was just beautiful. And when we did that here, we knew we were witnessing something really special. But, you know, I don't think it ever occurred to us at first that what God had inspired us to do here in College Station, Texas, would ever be duplicated anywhere else. But, you know, how wrong we were, because the word had somehow spread. And lo and behold, as Sean said, there were 40 days of life in other cities here and there around the country. What we still lacked, of course, was any kind of nationwide vision or organization or leadership. And we're going to have that now. And I just want everybody to know that 40 Days for Life works. It can't fail. It will work everywhere. And by going national, as we're doing here, we can and will rally and energize just massive participation and support from all over the country. For me, this is the most exciting pro-life initiative I've ever seen.
Oh, I'm right with you. God is able. Well, Sean, I know that there's a world premiere television event. It's going to happen this coming Monday night, specifically focused on 40 Days for Life. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Carmen, we were approached this last year by EWTN, which is a global network. It's the largest religious media outlet in the world. It goes into 127 million homes in 140 countries around the world. And they wanted us to basically make a documentary about 40 Days for Life. And I went and I met with a few people, and I was introduced to John Franklin, who is actually an Emmy Award-winning director.
Wow.
Who agreed to do the project. And Carmen, he put together an unbelievable piece of film that promotes 40 Days for Life and just shows the conviction. It shows how everyday people have the courage to go out to a Planned Parenthood and to pray and to see the results, to see God work through them to help end abortion and reduce abortions in their community. It's a beautiful piece. It's 30 minutes long, and it will launch the national efforts through organized media. It will air on EWTN this Monday. It's 6:30 Eastern, 5:30 Central on EWTN. And I think there's nothing in the pro-life movement like this. It's very well done. It's exciting. It's inspirational. And it calls the viewer to action. It calls the viewer to get involved with this national effort. So we're really excited about it. The people who have seen it, one of the advantages of being human, which is the name of the show, is how ecumenical it is. I've held a number of screenings throughout Texas and showed a number of people of all faiths, and they've all loved it. And right when it ends, Carmen, they stand up and they say, we're going to do this. We have got to get involved in this. We have got to do a 40 Days for Life. The first screening, EWTN, many of you know, is a Catholic network. The first screening, ironically, was held at a Baptist church in Deep East, Texas. And people just started clapping and throwing their hands up in the air and getting excited about doing a 40 Days for Life. They're very moved by how the Holy Spirit worked through this program, how the crew came together, all the talented people that worked on it, and it's going to have a tremendous impact this Monday night.
Oh, I agree, Sean. I have seen it. And, you know, it is interesting. You know, God doesn't do anything unless he does it first class. This is done first class, very professional, very moving. It will impact people of all faiths. And it just gives you one example of the quality of this campaign moving from here forward. Well, I know, David, for someone who's listening right now, either by phone, on the internet, or on the recording, they're all saying, okay, what do we do? How can we help 40 Days for Life have a major impact across this country?
Well, that's a great question, Carmen, and it's one that I think is the most important, because to know and not to do is not to know. And so we want people to take this, and the most important thing that they can do, and this is the number, if you do nothing else as a result of this call tonight besides this one thing, we will have accomplished more than anything else we could have done, and that is for you to begin to pray for this effort. I would encourage you to, when you get off the phone, when you click the end of the button on your internet connection and you get away from this tonight, to pray. And just pray for this effort. Pray for the people who are discerning whether to launch this campaign where they live. Pray for the people who are helping to coordinate this nationally. Pray for God to show you the role that he has for you. We met with a group of people in College Station, Texas, and we were talking with them about the vision of this national campaign. And we asked them, you know, would you be willing to just put it somewhere, hang it on your mirror, stick it somewhere, would you be willing to pray every day between now and November 4th when the campaign ends? And every person there said, yes, we pray every single day. And if people on this line, if nothing else, that would move incredible mountains, is to pray. So that would be the first thing, and that is really the most important thing, is for you to pray. The second thing is that this call, the moment we get off, the recording of this is going to be posted online at the site where, if you're listening to the webcast, if you're not listening to it, if you're listening to it via telephone where you got the dial-in information, we set it up easily so you can go to prolifebreakthrough.com/event, E-V-E-N-T, and that's where the recording will be posted. But literally, minutes after we hang up, that recording will be up there. And if this has blessed you, tell other people to go and to listen to that recording so they can get the picture of it. I know that when I heard some of these stories from people's mouths, not just in writing or not just via an email, it got me so excited. And so if hearing this has given you a sense of inspiration or hope or whatever else, share this recording with other people and tell them that they can listen to the replay so they can start to capture the vision as well. Another thing is, we'll be sending out via email to all of you who registered, we'll be sending you a little information tomorrow about this world premiere of the EWTN show. And I have also seen it. I saw some of the advanced cuts, and then I saw the final version of it. And it is one of the most moving things I have ever seen, let alone in the pro-life movement. It just goes to show ordinary people that ordinary people can do extraordinary things with God, and it shows the simplicity and the power of this 40 days effort. And so, you know, again, as Sean mentioned, it reaches a widespread Christian audience. Spread the word about this and get people to watch it on television and just to check it out and to discern for themselves that this is something that they're meant to do. And then the fourth and final thing that I would have is something that people can do is find ways that we can spread the word about this to other people. One of the things we're going to be doing is we're going to be holding more teleconference webcast events just like this. I was talking recently with a pro-life leader named Jack, and he was saying, well, David, I've got a pro-life organization. I've got all these people that want to hear about this. How about we set up one of these conference calls, these webcasts, and I invite all my people to come on, and I actually interview you or one of the other people who's done these 40 Days for Life, and you share the vision with the people and get them all excited because we need a shot in the arm for our pro-life efforts. And so if anybody here has a group of people, it could be friends, it could be a church group, it could be an organization, small or large, and you want to share this with them, but you want to personalize it to your organization, we can do all the work. We've got the technology. We can do it at absolutely no charge to you within your time frame. You get your people. You handle the interviewing if you want, and you can be the one to, you know, invite people and share the vision with them of why you're excited about this. We also are planning a mega teleconference webcast. We actually have the ability to reach over 3,000 people simultaneously with this new technology that we have just has become available very recently. And so we're going to be planning a mega event here in the next few weeks, which will be a way that you, if you don't want to actually coordinate or work with us and coordinate a teleconference, if you want to just send people to one where they can learn more, it is going to be a big event. There are going to be some amazing people on the call. I can't tell you any names yet, but it's going to be something you won't want to miss. And so those are the four things I would say. There's nothing right now more important than prayer, then spreading the word via the replay of this call, spreading the word about the EWTN show, and then finding ways to get other people to hear this message. We're going to be doing a lot of things. I know Sean's going to be doing radio interviews. We're going to be spreading the word everywhere we possibly can, just inviting people to prayerfully consider if this is God's plan for their community. And I believe that he is going to take this, and it's going to spread like wildfire throughout our country and throughout our world. And we can't wait to see what he's got in store for this fall.
Oh. Boy, I am excited, and I know that our listeners are as well. We are opening the line now for questions. If you would like to submit those, we'll be taking those. And we do have one from Christina in Washington, D.C., and this question is for Jim Olson. She says, since you've lived in other countries and traveled extensively, can you tell us whether it's a scandal that abortion is legal in the United States? Tell us why or why not, and are any recent pro- or anti-life events of particular interest to the citizens of other nations?
Well, that's a very good question, and of course it is a scandal, I believe, that abortion is so common and is legal in the United States. That has not always been the case around the world. I regret to say that the trend is toward legalizing abortion in country after country, and I find that heartbreaking. One thing I noticed in my career, though, Carmen, that I think is no coincidence, is that in the countries that have the highest rates of abortion, there is godlessness. Mm. It was in the communist, atheistic countries of the Soviet Union and China where abortion was such a commonplace thing that virtually every woman experiences this horrible tragedy. And I think that we can take some lessons from that where God is strong and where Christians are active, we can counter that and we can reverse the trend and hopefully make abortion disappear from our country.
Hopefully so. Well, that is the only question that we have now. Perhaps there are others of you listening who want to think about some questions, and you may think of something as you look over your list of notes from tonight. If you do, please feel free to submit those. We certainly want to answer every question that you might have because we want everyone to be included, and we know how important it is for you to understand thoroughly what we are discussing, and so we'll be open for those questions in the days to come. Yes.
Carmen, can I jump in here for a second?
Please,
I'm actually watching on the little moderator panel as questions come in, and there's a button in the middle that says refresh. And if you click that, we actually have had quite a few questions just come flooding in. So if you do that, you'll see some of the questions, and I'm excited that people are starting to ask some great questions.
All right. Hopefully we'll get those through here. Let's see what we have. Thank you so much. We do. We have Janet Charlesworth in Woodstock who is calling. Janet, you're she is calling to say, how does this affect crisis pregnancy centers in Canada?
Well, this is David, and let me address that, Carmen. I think that this has a profound impact on pregnancy centers in a lot of capacities. I also saw a question come in from Jim Sprague, a friend of mine in Grand Rapids, Michigan, who runs a great pregnancy resource center up there. I think the way this most affects pregnancy centers is there are national statistics I've seen from some of the coordinating organizations, wonderful groups like CareNet and Heartbeat and Birthright, that many of the people who are coming to our pregnancy centers are not the abortion-minded clients, and we're not as effective at reaching the abortion-minded woman at that moment when she is at risk of abortion. And what this campaign does is it reaches that abortion-minded person either at the last possible second through that prayerful witness out in the vigil out in front of the abortion facility or through the widespread awareness in a community. So one of the questions that Jim had submitted is, well, how does a pregnancy center need to prepare for this? I would say be prepared to handle more clients, number one. Be prepared to see more people that God moves their heart to get involved, but the way they feel called to do it is to get involved as a volunteer for a pregnancy center. Pregnancy centers will be direct beneficiaries of much of this, and they're an incredible movement. There was an article in Time Magazine here very recently There are 2,300 pregnancy centers across America compared to less than 1,500 abortion providers. So we have this incredible network of loving, caring, selfless people who are there. Now we can fill the gap and get the people who are at the greatest risk of abortion to those caring centers where they can get the help we need. So we'll be giving more guidance and help along the way for how pregnancy centers can ramp up and prepare for this. But I would say that, number one, when you have people all across America praying, you're going to see an increase in just renewal of our land and ultimately in healing from abortions that have already happened as well.
Let's go to Kevin, who has called in from Lynchburg. He says, has this been done in a community that had a single Planned Parenthood that did not perform abortions? And David, would you like to address that one?
Let me throw that one to Sean, because I think he actually has a case study of that.
Yes. 40 Days for Life hasn't been done in a community that where the Planned Parenthood doesn't provide abortions. However, during 40 Days for Life, we'll have specific models for those communities, because Planned Parenthood, their satellite offices are basically abortion referrals. They have specific clinics around the country, 250 or so throughout America out of the 800 Planned Parenthood facilities total actually do abortions, 250. And the other ones work as satellite offices that help mobilize and refer women. Planned Parenthood, according to their own numbers, performs 180 abortions for every one adoption referral. There's simply no choice when it comes to their statistics. And so 40 Days for Life can be conducted upon a Planned Parenthood office, a satellite office that works as an abortion referral center. Absolutely.
Wagner in Winterville wants to know, do you think this 40 Days of Life will fit into a community that doesn't have an abortion clinic in town? Like, where would we hold the vigil? David.
Well, that's a great question. I'm actually in that situation. I live in Fredericksburg, Virginia, and the nearest abortion facility or Planned Parenthood office is 45 miles from my house. But I know people here who are very convicted about this campaign and want to participate in it. So I think that, yes, it can be conducted, and there will be a model that will be presented. It has not been done up to this point, so you can be an innovator if you feel called to do it in a town like this. But I would say you could find another public venue. Maybe it could be something symbolic like a courthouse or a city hall. Find a public place where you can meet in the right of way. Or it could just be at a very busy intersection and hold a vigil. Somebody else had submitted a question asking about, well, what does this vigil look like? Do people have signs? What do they do? And in most cases, yeah, the people are there with signs, usually very peaceful signs, like pray for an end to abortion. We had one guy, Patrick, who was holding a sign that said, honk if you're pro-life, and all day long you would hear horns blaring, and I know the abortion facility employees probably got really annoyed by that by the end. We had kids that were actually competing to see who could get, these were little kids, a family, that were competing amongst each other to see who could get the most horn honks in a period of time, and whoever got the most got ice cream from their parents. It was just amazing, and it was such a time of fellowship. But yes, that vigil can be held in a place where there's not an abortion facility. But I think the most important thing is, if you are in a town where there is a Planned Parenthood office, that is where you need to bring the attention. Or if it's an abortion facility that is not a Planned Parenthood and that's what you have in your town, bring the focus, because if we shine light into that darkness, I believe transformation will happen. So, yes, it can happen. And if you feel called to do it in your town, we would be thrilled to be able to share your success stories with other people around the country.
That would be exciting. Well, Joan in Indiana, Jeffersonville, Indiana, says, well, will you be sharing the names and the contact information of those of who are in the same area? She says, I'm from Indiana, and there's others in Kentucky who want to work together. It's important that we know who is working on this. How will that type of information be shared, David?
Okay, I'll address this, and Sean, if you want to add anything to it as well. There is a plan to put together a very, I can't even begin to describe to you the plans for making this online communications tool for people to be able to interact with each other, but there is going to be an ability for people in a local area to network with other people, and as people get interested and get excited about this, where they can network and meet with those people so together they can form a team and pray and discern if God is calling them to lead a campaign where they live. So yes, those pieces are coming. Yes, there will be ways for you to come together with other people around you, some of whom may have heard about it on the EWTN show, some of them may have been on this phone call, some of them may hear it on the radio. People are going to come from so many different sources. The promotion plans for this are just mind-boggling. And all of those people coming together in each individual town to form a team, I think it's going to be just an unstoppable force, and we're excited to see the synergy that comes from that.
Deb in Staunton wants to know, were the initial 35 leaders that you had worked with, David, did you have a relationship with them already? How did you get them to come and to commit?
I think we offered to buy them pizza or something like that.
Food always works.
That's right. It always works. We actually had, it was amazing, and we had a community organization, and we had some very faithful people who had been involved in pro-life efforts, and many of those people had been involved in previous pro-life projects in the past. Some of them just heard about it from others. We basically got on the phone and started calling people and say, we've got a really big idea that we want to share with you. It's a project that we think can have a major impact on our community. We'd like to invite you to come. We'll share the vision with you. We'd like your input. And we truly wanted their input because they helped us to form that core group. So we had some people that we previously knew and had a relationship. We had some people we'd never met before. And that initial group that came together, not only did they contribute the $15,000 to that local campaign, and these were not, I think there were only one or two people there of, you know, substantial means, if you will. Most of them were just ordinary people who reached and stretched to because they saw the power that this campaign could have. But the other thing is, out of that meeting, we had people commit to be shift leaders so that on each of the, we actually broke the day up into different shifts. And for the prayer vigil, we had all of those shifts where we had somebody committed to be a leader of that shift as a result of that first initial meeting. And I don't claim credit for it. It wasn't that Sean and I did a great pitch to share this with people. I think it was because God moved in their hearts and he got them excited about it. So amazing things can happen when you bring a group of people. It could be 5 people, it could be 100 people. Bring them together to share your vision, share your heart of where you think God can work through this campaign and through you, and I think you'll see people come alongside with you. Sean, do you want to add anything to that?
No, and I would add again that we pulled off a local campaign, but the national network is why this national effort will be successful, is the networking between the communities, being able to rely on others who are doing the same thing that you're doing, going through the same things that you're encountering, and that is why the national 40 days will be so successful, is because it'll be simultaneous, and everybody will be doing it together as opposed to these communities just doing it on their own at different times.
Well, I believe we have time for one more question. Blake in Greenville, North Carolina says he's a center director, and basically his question is about the materials that will be provided. Are they tailored to just be used towards picketing abortion clinics, or what if you just want something to help encourage praying against abortion and getting volunteers for the center? What would you suggest in explaining what the materials will be?
Sean, you want to start with that?
Yeah. I would say, first off, the goal of the 40 Days for Life is to hold the prayer vigil outside of the Planned Parenthood or outside of whatever abortion clinic is in your town. That's the goal. Most of the time, these abortion facilities, particularly Planned Parenthoods, have nested. They've gone highly unopposed or lightly opposed, and it has a dramatic effect on their clinic traffic and on the number of abortions that they do when there's visible community opposition. And so I would say that that's the first goal. And secondly, there's going to be numerous materials to give to communities, from press releases to wristbands, which we did here and was very successful, to everything that you'll need, whether your community decides that you want to reach out to women and hand out information or collect a list of organizations within your area that those women can go to either find post-abortive healing or to have alternatives to abortion. A number of these materials and models will be given to communities so that they don't have to do the groundwork. There have been communities across the country who have been tripping and falling and learning, and that way when we do the national effort, communities won't have to worry about that.
One other thing I'll throw out there too, Carmen, is that one of the visions for this fall is that there will be a daily devotional for people who sign up to participate in the campaign, for all the people in your community. So essentially, we're going to take the pro-life message and break it into 40 daily little bite-sized nuggets where there will probably be a scripture verse, there will be a brief pro-life message, talking with, you know, experts in different areas. So if it's a former abortion provider, if it's somebody who's experienced an abortion, but basically taking the entire pro-life message, breaking it into 40 daily pieces, and inviting people to pray on those specific intentions on each of the 40 days. And I think it's going to be powerful when we see people all across the country focusing their prayers together on the same specific intention at the same time. I think it will be powerful for pregnancy centers, for post-abortion healing ministries, for adoption agencies, for right-to-life groups. I think it's going to be absolutely transformational for our nation.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it. So what do? We're going to pray. We're going to replay this call to our friends and family. We're going to spread the word about the EWTN premiere this coming Monday night. We also are going to get others onto a teleconference so that they can learn more about this exciting campaign, 40 Days for Life. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we are just excited that you are at work and that you have invited us to get in on what you are doing. We pray that we would be obedient to your calling and not miss out on the opportunity to experience you and the mighty work that you're doing around this country. Thank you for involving us. We pray for your blessings upon this effort, and we look forward to reporting a great testimony of your miraculous work in the pro-life movement. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us tonight.
Good night.